Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everybody. I've had an absolute blast recording your championship intros on audio and also on video. And for those of you that didn't know, the videos can be done special exactly the way you like them, because these are green screens and we can do them with a scene behind me. Do you want a fighting scene? Do you want a beach scene? Do you want a race car scene? Any scene you want, we can give it to you. It's your theme and my pleasure. Just write our offices and we will answer you with the exact fee involved and how it'll get done. So here we are, and now it's time, and it's your choice. Cheers!
From the shores of Malibu where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. Film, TV, politics, UFC, sex, drugs, rock and roll. It's no holds barred radio, folks. That's what we're all about here. And we talk about winners, and we have winners on the show. And aside from my co-host, TJ DeSantis, winner. Aside from myself, hopefully a winner. We have a true winner, a champion winner. Somebody I love as a fighter, I admire and consider a friend as a person, and it's so great to have her on the show. No one else but Thug Rose Namajunas. Hi, Rose.
Hey.
So good to have you on. I'm sure you've been like inundated with interview requests and God knows what. The obvious question to you, Rose, is, you know, every time you accomplish what you accomplish in the octagon, I'm sure it takes you to a higher level and a higher level. You were at Madison Square Garden, the most famous arena in the world. The show overall was one of the most amazing UFCs ever. And then to culminate into you doing what you did.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I have so much respect for Whaley, not saying it, so much respect for her, but you defeated a monster and you've done it twice. How's it feel?
She was definitely the best version of Whaley that I've ever seen, especially that night. It'll be interesting to see what she can do from this point on, because a lot of the times it's like, I almost feel like when I, similar to how I rematched Joanna, where when she came back, I felt like that was the best Joanna, like peak Joanna, even before like I knocked her out. And then after that, I mean, she still had some decent performances, but I felt like that was definitely, I seen the best version of Joanna at that moment. And I feel like that was the same thing with Whaley this time. And it'll be interesting to see, can she get that bucked up again, or can she get even better, or will she sort of plateau from here on out? We'll see.
Hey, Rose, you mentioned Joanna and getting the best out of her, and the same sort of situation with Whaley. Did you feel like you could draw on any of that experience from the first go around with Joanna in this similar situation with Whaley?
Yeah, I realized that. I definitely had more confidence going into this one than I did the rematch with Joanna. I felt like. But I think I was a little more motivated going into the fight with Joanna than I was going into this rematch with Whaley. I sort of had to make Whaley bigger than maybe what she really was in order to like kind of buck myself up, because I honestly didn't really want to make that ring. I didn't feel as though she was as dominant as Joanna as a champion. I didn't feel like she totally deserved it. But, you know, she does have a huge audience. She is also very dangerous. So in that sense, I do feel like she was worthy of, you know, if not the first contender, definitely the second. So, you know, I just didn't want to get in a position where I refused to fight her because I didn't feel she deserved it. And then they got to replace her, replace somebody else with her. And then
right.
So I felt like I had to just take her out right then and there, even though I didn't really want to.
Can I just say here real quick, Bruce, you already sort of mentioned it, that Rose obviously is the champion of the strawweight division, but is a champion of winning. And the reason that I actually find that to be very honest is the, you know, honesty that she just said about, you know, having this rematch, but the confidence level that she said that she had brought into it. And that's one thing, Rose, like, again, I'm not a 115-pound woman, but I'm inspired by you because your power of self-belief, like the zone that you go into when you fight, it makes me want to be a better person, honestly. Like, you are inspiring people.
It also Rose, when I'm announcing you, when the world is watching you, and your last fight before this with Whaley, and you're standing there and you're saying, I'm the best.
Yeah.
I'm the best. That got worldwide recognition. And I remember the first time you were doing, when I was announcing, because I'm always looking into the eye of the tiger. You're in your zone. I'm in my zone. I don't even hear the audience. I'm just looking at you, right?
Yeah.
And I was actually blown away with positivity and respect announcing you and seeing you say that. It actually took me to another level. I go, oh my God. I mean, I love this girl to begin with, but now it's like she's reaching a whole new plateau. And every time I see you fight, I think you do reach a new plateau. It's like you're just getting better and better and better. And I know from people I talk to, women I talk to who love you. I mean, you're such a role model. You're my kind of fighter. I mean, it's like everything you do, it's like, I think it's great. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. And what's great about now is that I feel as though I have a lot to work with to even get better and better. So that's really exciting for me. And, cause that's always the challenge, is just, you know, constant self-improvement.
You know, that's one thing, Rose, like you're, you know, believing in yourself and you're telling yourself these positive affirmations. How do you handle, you know, the adulation from others? You know, like we're complimenting you here, and, you know, I don't want to butter your bread more than we already have, but like, this is a sport where bigger is always badder, and you're one of the baddest people in the sport, and you're a 115-pound woman. Like, this doesn't happen in the 80s. It doesn't happen in the 90s. Like, how do you process all of that?
It's tough sometimes, you know, I especially because I'm like my biggest critic, and I come from a generational negative generational thing where Lithuanians, I think, are very, nothing's ever good enough, and we're very, hard on ourselves, and we're, it's always like the glass is half full kind of a thing. So, that's definitely something that is something that I've had to grow and get accustomed to. And it's still something that I'm always dealing with, but, I appreciate it.
It's truly inspiring. Like no lie. When we say that, and, let's get into the X's and O's of this fight a little bit though, because it was a phenomenal fight. One that I actually thought was better for your stock, because when you beat Ioana, people sort of thought, oh, okay, it was maybe a bit of a fluke. You know, she stopped her quick. And then the same thing with Zhang Weili. And this fight was nitty gritty, back and forth. One that I honestly wasn't certain what the judges were going to say. I thought you had done enough to win. I was actually surprised none of the judges gave you round one. Even though you were taken down, I thought you controlled the you know, majority of the round prior to that. And then, you know, I thought you finished strong and showed well on the floor. Do you look at the scorecards and sort of figure out why the judges rewarded you in the way that they did? And do you actually like do any data analysis of that?
Before you answer, Rose, I really watch you. Okay, I watch the fighters in the octagon even before I announce. You knew you won. I think you knew you won.
I knew it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you had, maybe it would have been the split or whatever, but you're everything I saw on your
face.
See,
that's the power of self belief, right, Bruce?
Self belief is so I'm the best. But you know what? It's one thing to say you're the best. It's another thing to prove you're the best. It's another thing to perform at your best. When her performance was over, she knew. I know you knew, Rose.
Yeah. And here's the thing is, in the moment, I'm not thinking about the scorecards. I'm not thinking about which rounds or what, you know, like, because especially because it was so close, like I have to be able to make decisions in a split second. I can't be thinking about what happened in the last round. If I do, then that kind of makes my decision-making a little bit off. And I mean, sometimes those thoughts might creep in, but for the most part, my job is to stay in the present moment. But after, I'm more concerned about like breaking her will. You know what I mean? And there was a moment in the fourth round where, I mean, we were sort of talking back and forth to each other. I'm the best. She's saying I'm the best. And then she would eventually say, I'm the champion. And then it's funny because, you know, I caught her with a really nice overhand right after she said that. and I kind of was like, yeah, are you still a champion? You know what I mean? Kind of like, you want to say that again? And then, and it's funny because I felt like at that moment, she was like, damn, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't over. Like, she was definitely she was game at any moment if I would have let up. But I felt that was the breaking point. And then the fifth round was like, oh yeah, she can't get up from under me. And I just knew it, you know? And so, and then I still was sort of in that moment. And I also know like judges can score it any which way and things happen. So that's out of my control. But as far as breaking her spirit, I felt as though I did that and I accomplished it. And that's why I was walking around the way that I was. I wasn't like, you know, when fighters sometimes do the thing where let me act like I won so I could like, you know, I wasn't thinking about that. I was like, no, she's sitting over at her corner right now. She's not, this isn't her octagon right now. Like she's talking to them. Like, so what do you guys think? Kind of a thing. That's what that energetically speaking, that's what I felt from her. I was like, oh yeah, it's mine.
Man, Rose is a boss, Buff.
No, she's a boss, you know, and she proves it. Obviously we all know that, you know, when you walk in there, you own it, Rose. Mm-hmm. Keep it and you own it and you're keeping it now. I mean, two-time, you know, women's strawweight world champion. I mean, what better credits are there in the world than that? It's incredible. Everybody's throwing out Carla Esparza's name as your next opponent. Yeah. They can throw out what they want. Carla Esparza, Rose? Is that what you want?
I would love that. I really would love that, especially because I believe that I would get the best Carla's like at this moment as well. So, I heard Dana said they have options, but I'm like, I don't know what they're thinking, but
go for the gold. You know?
That's what I want. And I'm happy to prove and show the world how much I've gotten better since we first fought. And
well, you know, the interesting fight with Carla, what I think would be great is, you know, we all know that she's the powerful wrestler that she is. I mean, you know, you're a black belt in Taekwondo. You're a true mixed martial artist. You're black belt in another form of karate. I'm not sure which one. Yeah. And of course, you're brown belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Now you've got the wrestler coming at you. And we know Carla's going to try to take you down. Right. And there's a height difference with her, if I'm not incorrect, being 5'1 or 5'2 and you at 5'5. So she's going to come in low, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to be sprawling back and reacting however you react.
Yeah.
You welcome that kind. Would you rather have a ground game fight or would you rather have a stand up knockout? Let's do this. Punch each other silly.
I would, whatever the situation is, I would, I love mixed martial arts. I love the ground. I love the striking. I love the clinch. I love the wall. I would love to just control every position, control myself. And whether that be defending her takedowns, whether that be, you know, distance management or mm-hmm. against the fence or whatever. Right. Ultimate control.
So in your mind, having come off this stellar performance at the world's most famous arena, at one of the best, greatest UFC events ever, God, it's just such a gold medal all the way around. It's amazing.
Yeah.
How much of a break do you want? I mean, you know, I know UFC calls and you'll probably fight tomorrow morning if you had to. You're that kind of fighter. You're in shape 365 days a year. You're great trainers and Trevor Whitman and Pat Barry. And by the way, I love Trevor's gloves. He had a set made for me. Those are awesome gloves. I love those. Awesome. So what in your mind? I'm sure you want to take some time, perfect timing for you with the holidays and family and all that goes with it. When do you want to go back to work, Rose? When would be your prime time?
I mean, November and April has always been like a really good schedule for me. And that's sort of historically what's, you know, normally, you know, the time in between my fights have been on average, but, I'm also open to coming in a little sooner. I would just for sure have to evaluate those emotions of mine because I definitely like, I'm itching to get right back to it. But I also know that that's just, Like, I don't know if that's just emotions or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the earliest I could say is possibly February or March, but more realistically, maybe it would be April. So I got to talk with my team.
Yeah, I think you've earned that right to sort of, you know, maybe call your shot a little bit and pick the schedule. You know, going back to a potential Esparza fight, it would be a rematch. You guys closed out the Ultimate Fighter, crowning a champion for the first time at strawweight in the UFC with that fight. You know, looking back at that first meeting, Rose, do you feel that Carla has changed and progressed as a fighter as much as you have? Would she be a different opponent on a new night?
She's definitely improved a lot, and it might even be hard to see like quite all the improvements that she's made, just because it's not like she's not adding like any, like, I shouldn't say any, she's not adding as diverse of tools and skill sets that I've added to my arsenal. But she just sharpened the ones that she's got tremendously, and while adding maybe a few other little grenades or different, you know, knives to the collection. But she's definitely improved, I think, especially in her last fight, with her, you know, ground and pound, and her sort of crucifix position, little details on the ground I've noticed. And, you know, I've seen her in her other fights before that one on the ground, where I think her jiu-jitsu has gotten better. And striking wise, that one I'd have to go back in and out, analyze a little bit more. I think she just sort of does her little blitzes a little, you know, cleaner and stuff, and her timing is just more finesse. But overall, she has improved. I just feel as though I've improved a lot more, and I have so much more to go as well.
You know, when you say that, and all the opponents that you've had, I mean, one of the things that we notice about Whaley is her power. You know, her physique is so obviously powerful, and all the people that you've gone against, how is the power in her punches? Rose, was she one of the hardest hitters you've gone against?
No, Andrade by far is the hardest hitter. Even like Andrade's low kicks, I think, were a little harder than Whaley's. Whaley's low kicks were definitely the hardest strikes that she landed in that fight, but none of her punches, even like the one where it shows me like stumbling backwards, that hit me right in my armpit. If you look at it in a slow motion. And so, yeah, I was actually sort of surprised by the lack of, like, I thought it was going to be a little more power behind her punches. If you run into them, yes, she definitely, like, in her range, she has that power. But when she has to go at you, she doesn't generate that much.
Well, the beauty of your physique at 5'5 is you're long limbed, so you can control distance with almost any fighter you come up against. Obviously when you come against Carla, you're going to have a very big a distance, you know, advantage.
Yes.
And that's a huge advantage in a fight, as we all know.
Yeah.
Correctly. Not everybody works their length advantages correctly.
Oh, it's much easier said than done for some athletes.
I know. I know.
For sure. Especially when Whaley is really good at pulling you in, you know, that's something that, I don't even know if it's, I don't know what in particular she's doing, but she makes it look like you need to like come at her when,
right.
Really, if I would have just like sat back and did nothing, it would have been a really boring fight, but she wouldn't have been able to touch me at all. And it would have been a way easier fight for me if I would have been a little smarter and just sat back. But I don't know. I just wanted to hit her.
You know, when I talk to fighters such as yourself, I love talking about the fight, but I love knowing more about the person, you know, and you're very intriguing, very interesting, fascinating person to me. And when I think ahead, you know, at 29 years old, what I want to hear, millions of dollars in your future, all that you're going to make, first off, the obvious question everybody asks you, do you see yourself fighting past 35? Do you see yourself fighting a long time? What is your plans for the future? And what is your passion goal, if any, for when you're done fighting? What would you like to do, or preparing for when that happens, when you put your guns away?
Yeah, I would say fighting, I don't really have like a specific plan as far as this is when I'm going to do it. But I do have probably I would say about like 3 more years to sort of figure things out. At the max, I would say, just because, well, I don't know. I can't say for sure. It's so weird. Cause also like leading up to this fight, I was like, I had like a eye injury scare that it turned out to be okay. But I thought, like, I was wondering, is this like a career ending thing?
Was it a retina injury?
Yeah. And it turned out to not be, it was like a false diagnosis, but I literally for 24 hours, I thought I was not going to fight ever again.
Scary feeling. I've had.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then to like get back into gear after that and find out everything's fine. And then what, you know what I mean? That was tough. But so like I said, you never know, like with what we do, you can suffer an injury that can make, you know, nothing's ever guaranteed in the sport. But I could see myself fighting for, you know, 2 to 3 more years and accomplish certain goals. I would really like to, you know, establish myself as like, you know, the best strawweight ever. And then from there, you know, yeah, we'll see. But ultimately though, I want to be a farmer. Like that's what I want to build Earthship MMA academies. Earthships are these like self-sustaining houses that I've been, you know, really into for a long time.
Very cool.
Yeah. I went to Indonesia to build them and they're really cool. It's been my dream. So that's something that I want to do. And I want to integrate it into MMA somehow and kind of maybe give other fighters an outlet, you know, something that, cause there's a lot of fighters that I think once they're done fighting, they don't know what to do with themselves.
Oh yeah. And, actually.
So maybe, or maybe even during in between fighting, you know, having sort of a situation where giving fighters something else to do that can help decompress in between.
That's such a pay it forward attitude. I love it.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm good for at least another 10 years. So hang with me for a little while, will you please?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'll be around.
So when you say self-sustaining houses, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little more on what that would be? Just like a little, you know, dissertation, a little model.
So there's, so, you know, we have our basic necessities as human beings. We got food, shelter, heat, water, sanitation, heating. So this particular house, it uses also like materials that it uses, recycled tires and things, in the structure itself that kind of functions as multiple different uses and, just different, supplies and things that just go to the landfill and they're recycled. And then it, recycles water. You have plants in your house. You can have a banana tree in your house. You know what I mean? And then everything is on site. Like, so the way that it works is you treat your own sewage, you, collect your own energy, you know, everything is designed to where it's, we're modeling, we're looking at the trees and how they, you know, take and then give, like, it's just remodeling, you know, the way a home should be. We shouldn't be just taking from the earth. It should just kind of.
Absolutely.
To me, it sounds like if you don't have like internet technology, you live in a place like that, COVID hits, you don't even know it happens because you're just self-sustaining.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. That could keep a positive attitude going forever to stay away from all the stuff going on in the world. But considering what is going on in the world with climate control and all the ruination of air and everything that, you know, we're doing as human beings, very opportune, Rose. Very opportune. No question.
Yeah, and it's cool because right now the reason they're doing so many cool things. Earthship Biotexture, they're going to like third world countries and building them there because they're finding that they're earthquake resistant and hurricane resistant.
Wow.
And so
sounds like the perfect home.
Seriously.
Especially so it's really cool. And they go to these third world countries because in America they build them here, but it's so much such a slower process because of like all the permits we gotta go through, bureaucracy and things. And it's just such a new idea that it's just like it takes a while. Certain places are faster than others, like Colorado's perfect. They're building an Earthship school in Haiti and they're like raising money for that. And actually Ariel Helwani, like kind of brought attention to it for me. And we ended up getting like a donor to donate the whole kind of goal that they were reaching to build it. So I was like, dang, I should probably promote this a little more because could get a lot more done.
I was just going to say, while you're talking like that, I'm thinking, where's Elon Musk when you need him?
I know.
He's in space, I think. He's like, yeah, he's going around the orbits.
No,
yeah,
I know, but still, I mean, he's the kind of guy that he could finance
right.
this. You know,
yeah,
he just sold $5 billion in stock.
Yeah.
I mean, take a billion of that or even a half or $100 million and let's
right.
do something like this. I mean, this is definitely.
Rose is right. All these assholes are trying to leave the world. We should probably focus on making the world a better place.
No, that always bothers me. Like, I get, like, I have nothing but, you know, respect for people that, I'm not that smart as far as like going to space and all this stuff, but I just don't understand why everybody's doing that. And it's like, there's so much we could be doing here and make this, the Earth a beautiful place. So yeah.
Wonderful definitely. Attitude, Rose. All the more reason why you're just such a supreme role model for the people watching and.
See, inspiring, the most inspiring champion. Inspiring. I'm telling you, it's Rose Namajunas.
No, yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Rose, we're taking up your time. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'm just so proud to have you on the show and I'm just, you know, aside from your friend, I'm not a big fan. Big fan. Yeah. I love announcing you. I love your nickname. I love the whole nine yards. It's just, it's an incredible.
I love when you announce me. That's the best.
Oh, thank you, Rose. Yeah. Thank you so much. I want to wish you happy holidays and take time for yourself. Enjoy. Yeah. You know, you've given all of us your blood, sweat, and tears. Take time for yourself, Rose.
Will do. Will do. Happy holidays, guys.
Happy holidays.
Same to you, Rose. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rose. Take care.
All right,
take care, champ.
Woohoo, champ.
Yeah.
All right, see you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
You know, she talks about wanting to become the best strawweight of all time. I mean, getting that win over Esparza would definitely go to further that. I mean, it's the one of the losses she has that is not avenged. But honestly, Bruce, like, I don't know much more that she would have to actually do to lay claim to being the greatest strawweight of all time. Obviously, Joanna is still in that conversation, but she's beaten her twice. Zhang Weili, a lot of people expected her to sort of carry that mantle and carry the division into the future. Well, Rose had something to say about it. Like, if you're not at least entertaining that Rose is one fight away from being the greatest 115-pound champion in the UFC's history, I think that you're, you know, just not paying attention.
I agree on all counts, and the proof is in the pudding, and she's certainly got a big dish of pudding in front of her that she's created. And when you think about the fact that if she beats, like, Amanda Nunes is the GOAT. Okay, we can't argue that point at all.
Yeah.
And Rose is walking through the division, but before that can be said, she's got to get through Carla.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Yeah. I mean, there's an unfinished business there for Rose.
With all respect to Carla and all she's done. And I'm sure Rose would admit the same thing, as humble and as a great a champion as she is.
I mean, that's the thing. Getting a win back for athletes in their journey, it's really important. And, you know, Rose, I think, is not necessarily campaigning for it, but you can tell she wants that win back. When you brought it up, she immediately said, like, I mean, it sounded like she honestly wanted that fight maybe more than this rematch with Zhang Weili. So I firmly believe that Rose is, especially, you know, beating Joanna, then giving her an immediate rematch. Same thing with Zhang Weili. Like, I feel that if anybody deserves to sort of pick their next fight, it'd be Rose Namajunas. She deserves that opportunity to maybe go and get what she wants in her next bout.
Well, you know, she would agree with you on all counts. She has that wonderful, humble attitude, being the champion of the world that she is. There's no cockiness in Rose, you know.
No,
none at all. It's so, I love it.
I mean, her personality is so refreshing considering, you know, what she does for a living, because it's not exactly the typical verbose bravado of champions. You know, like, I'm not knocking this man by any means, but look at the way Kamaru Usman handles himself and look at the way that Rose Namajunas handles herself. They're just cut from two different cloths, and both are great in their own ways. But totally. I love the personality and persona that Rose Namajunas has.
Well, I love it too, because, you know, we talked about her current situation. Then when I asked her, as you know, I love to find out what makes fighters tick. When she said what her future, what it holds, that whole pay it forward attitude,
yeah,
you know, which could also turn into an extremely profitable situation, marketed and managed.
Oh, seriously. Yeah.
But that's not where her head's at. It's like, this is what I want to do. I mean, She's now making, I would have to assume, great money after last Saturday.
She's making more money right now than she ever will in any other venture in her life. And that's one thing too, Bruce, that when athletes get to that, you know, point in their lives, they don't ever want to lose it. And sometimes when their talent and skill sort of, you know, gradually recedes because, you know, father time always trumps all, they're always chasing it. I think when Rose feels like her time is done, she's going to shift gears and not look back. And that is something that is really exciting because, as you said, most fighters just have no idea how to carry on without active, you know, competition in their lives.
Yeah, and I'm not putting them down by saying that. It's because they spent their whole lives training.
Right. You know, it's an identity. I mean, especially when you look at these, you know, Division I wrestlers, these guys that have been wrestling, you know, prior to mixed martial arts, going back to single digits in age. It's like when they don't have a fight to prepare for, it's like, well, why am I waking up in the morning? No disrespect to their families and their lives, but like when you have a date on the calendar of your next meet or your next, you know, championship fight or your next conquest, it's really hard to wake up in the morning and just be a guy on a Monday.
I agree. Well, Elon Musk, if you're listening, Joe Rogan, you've got his personal phone number. If you happen to be listening, somebody make a call to this man and talk to Rose. This idea is right up his alley. So,
seriously. Yeah. And, it's funny. Rose, you know, brings it up like these billionaires are leaving the world. Well, maybe we need to focus on the world a little bit more before we try to get off it.
Yeah. Well, they're leaving. But you know what? They're all going to come back.
Well, they have no choice. You can't go to Mars yet.
Exactly. Well, you know, Rose fought on one of the greatest cards for me personally I've ever announced. And one of the greatest cards, I think, MMA fans, UFC fans.
Hey, can I say, Bruce, like this card on paper looked like it was going to be the best card of the year. And when you have a card that looks so good on paper, I mean, generally we're left a little bit disappointed. Even if those fights are still good, it's hard to live up to the hype. You know what I mean?
You're backing up what I say all the time. Yeah. When people go, oh, this card's bleh. Right?
It's right. Great. It always delivers. Right.
Right. And then when it looks like it's going to deliver,
it comes up a little bit short because your expectations are so high.
Yeah, but the UFC has been banging out of the park. These shows have been amazing.
This card was the best actual card I've ever seen where it looked just as good on paper. You know what I mean? It delivered.
Right. I got to tell you, man, I love the New York fans. I love Madison Square. They are tough fans. If you're not the boos and like, you know, like maybe it's because it just delivers so much action when there's a lull in the action. But let's talk about the action for a second. Let's give a little credit to this card.
Well, started early. My goodness. I mean, we had a wheel kick from Chris Barnett, you know, to John Volante. Like, what was that? That was crazy.
Let's talk about God, I couldn't believe Gian came in at 260 pounds. Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, he's a big guy.
Big guy. And Chris Barnett, a big guy, you know, what I call that bowling ball kind of body.
But a supreme athlete, too. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, I remember when Roy Nelson came into the UFC and he was a bigger guy and everyone sort of wrote him off. Like, Chris Barnett is cut from the same sort of mold. He's not going to be on, you know, a bodybuilding magazine anytime soon. But he'll beat the shit out of you.
He makes no bones about it either. But, you know, listen, to pull off that spinning wheel kick that he threw, how many people can do that to begin with, unless you're like, you know,
We see that a lot more,
something like that. Right?
We see it a lot more, in modern day MMA thrown, but very rarely do we see it finish fights. And I know he had to pound, John out on the floor. But I mean, the real damage was done with that kick.
Oh, and then the phenomenal backflip landing on his tush and throwing
seriously
in the air. That was like, one of the best ones I've ever seen.
What a character. What a character. Yeah.
And then he's so humble in the end. He makes no bones. This is what I love. But to be great is to be humble. It's such a great quality. And look at how he handled himself in his post-fight interviews.
He's a great guy. I called a couple of his fights down in Florida for a promotion called Island Fights. And, I don't want to say, like, I saw his stardom before anybody. But it was clear when he was fighting the regional circuit that he was going places. And I actually watched him. I called a grappling match with him and Yoel Romero. And Romero won. But the fact that he was willing to go out there and just, you know, grapple an Olympic-level wrestler in Yoel Romero, it says something. And, you know, it was his moment to sort of break out and showcase his skills. And what better place to do it than, as you said, the most famous arena in the world in Madison Square Garden?
Well, I know, you know, the opponents he's faced not be in the top 10, but there's potential, if not contender status coming.
Yeah, through. No, I mean, you have to slowly build your way up. I mean, there are more fights than ever. You want to get more fights, I think, in the UFC before you get to that upper echelon. So, is he going to be fighting a top 10 fighter next? I don't know. But if he keeps having performances like this, those contender fights are going to be right around the corner.
And moving on, you know, Ireland's still shining with some of these great people coming out. You know, we've got Paddy coming out, of course, Conor McGregor, but Ian Garry, you know, a new superstar coming out of the Emerald Isles. Very impressive.
Yeah, no, he was phenomenal.
And also another human being as a person, as a personality that I liked. Not that I don't like the fighters. I love them all.
No, but
they're standouts in the way they handle themselves.
Right. And that's the thing, too. You mentioned standouts. Like, there are so many athletes under contract with the UFC. And, you know, there are so many things, so many challenges now that I think are a lot harder for these athletes to sort of separate themselves from the pack, because the UFC can't focus on everyone the way that they did, say, 10 years ago, even right. with a show every single week. You know, the impetus is really on the athletes to make everyone pay attention. And that is making the most of those 30 seconds that you get an open microphone or when you're on the dais pre or post fight. And, you know, it's really important. I think Ian Garry did a great job at, you know, really putting himself on the map, going, pay attention to me, guys. I'm part of the show here.
Yep, totally. And then moving along, you know, Ia Quinta, Bobby Green. Bobby Green showing, you know, Al comes out like the warrior he is, you know, fights in Madison Square Garden, being from Wontock, New York, had to be a great moment for him. Bobby Green shining, continuing to continue his win streak.
Bobby Green's a guy who's just kicking ass and not really like fopping up on the radars maybe as much as he should. I know he had a long layoff in between a couple of fights over the past like 3 years. It's been like one fight and then, you know, 15 months off, things like that. But that was a huge win for Bobby Green, and one that I think we should definitely take note of, because as you mentioned, like, this guy's streaking. I don't know if he's going to fight for a title anytime soon, but Bobby Green's definitely not going away. He was once retired, but now very much back and doing big things.
It's amazing when people retire, when they go, you know, you look at Carla Esparza now, she gets better with every fight. You're looking at Bobby Green and, you know, just, I love seeing this because it shows that their passion for what they do and their physicality and mental attitude towards what they do is still at a supreme level. Even if they got to pick it up, get off the canvas and, like Rocky said, you know, start moving forward and punching harder than ever. And that's exactly what they're doing. Let's talk about Rockiness. Chandler Gaethje, probably the greatest first round of the year, if not one of the greatest first rounds ever. I still do not like when I see fighters hold down their hands and take punches in the fifth round, like Michael did. I'm feeling the pain. I'm feeling the brain, if you know what I'm saying. But kudos to Michael, friend of the show, friend of mine, Justin, friend of the show. I mean, I'm friends with all the guys.
Right.
Unless they don't like me, but, kudos to these fighters.
A phenomenal, phenomenal performance. And one that I got to believe puts Gaethje in a good position to maybe fight for a championship relatively soon. Yeah. Obviously, Oliveira and Poirier have some business to settle coming up here on December 11th. But I think Gaethje is in a prime position to fight either of those guys, whoever wins. You know, Poirier's already fought once. He'd, you know, love to get that opportunity again. Looking at Oliveira, you know, we'll see what he has for Dustin, but I would like to see Gaethje fight either of those guys, and if a title's on the line, it makes it even better.
Totally, totally. And kudos to Shane Burgos, and of course Marlon Vera, you know, winning over.
Cheeto, dude, like
Cheeto showed he shined, and you know, let's face it, Frankie, we all love Frank. How can you not love Frankie?
So I was in a bar about three blocks away from MSG doing extra rounds, and it's the first time I'd ever watched a UFC in that sort of setting. And that was the only sort of down part of the night, Bruce. I mean, they were loving everything. But, you know, Frankie Edgar's an East Coast guy, you know, fighting out of Jersey. That bar was really bummed out and really feeling for Frankie. But, man, Cheeto, that push kick, that teeth kick to the face, a la Lyoto Machida and Randy Couture or Anderson Silva over Vitor Belfort, like, that was something else, man.
I know. Steven Seagal is taking credit for it.
Right, of course. That's what I said to my producers, Frankie and Steve, at Extra Rounds. I was like, oh, Seagal must be, you know, getting ready to claim that he told him to do that.
I was waiting for the news on the internet, but it obviously didn't happen. I guess he didn't watch the fight.
No.
So, sorry, Steven. I know you're a friend, but I had to make a joke. I had dinner with him one time in Buenos Aires when Lyoto Machida and he and I and Dan Murgliata, we were filming a TV commercial, and Steven took me out to dinner. Doesn't drink, drank about six glasses of fruit juice and everything. It was a fun dinner, you know, hearing and talking film and everything else. But he was talking to me about the kick. And I just said, Steven, you know, the beauty of the kick is when you throw that kick, which and I had to say it, which is a kick, you know, you learn as a yellow belt in Taekwondo.
Right. It's a very basic. It's not a knockout kick.
No, it's not a knockout kick. But the whole secret of it is you should always, to me, every time I fought or trained, you know, the knee is the gun sight. Wherever I put my knee is where the kick's going to land.
Yep.
So if you're lifting up the knee and it comes up at, when you're fighting in the right position, the other fighter just doesn't see it.
Right.
They don't see it coming up.
Yeah.
That's the key to the kick.
And I like the wording that you use, like your knee is the gun sight, because the best fighters in the world are able to change that kick's destination, you know, as they throw it. Mirko Krokop was able to do that with his left kick, whether he'd want to go to the body or the head, and he would make that sort of split second decision mid throw. I don't know if that was the case with Chito Vera, but man, that's the first time I've ever seen him throw that kick in a UFC fight from what I can remember, and that might be his highlight win right there over a legend in Frankie Edgar, a UFC Hall of Famer in my book. That is the win in the moment that Chito Vera wanted to get against Jose Aldo. It didn't happen then, but that win on Saturday night really speaks volumes about where he's going.
Absolutely. And it's a real simple thing when aiming that kick. You know, if this is the head and you're throwing the kick at a roundhouse kick, you aim outside the head, so you kick through the head. If this is the head and you're throwing the front kick, you aim at the nose or the forehead, so it goes through the head. You know, it's the knee is the gun sight. That's the way I was. I just believe that.
I like it.
I like it too. I have liked it, except when I got hit by it. So,
right, exactly.
Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman,
good fight.
Very good fight. And Kamaru has proven himself to be the dominant monster that he is in the welterweight division. As far as going up in weight, as people have talked about, I am of the attitude, just stay there, dominate. And, you know, but if you want to go up to middleweight, you want to take a shot at Adesanya, which I don't know. I that's up for question. That's up to the powers that be at the UFC. But Colby Covington, I'm giving him all the credit in the world. This kid is so tough, so cardio, as Kamaru we know are. I mean, we know he's the champion.
Yeah.
I can't say enough about him as a person and as a champion. Colby comes out. Get aside from all Colby's talk and trash talk and show talk and wrestling talk and everything else. Let's face it. This guy's a true warrior, cardio machine, in shape. Quite frankly, I don't know if he'll ever beat Kamaru Usman or we'll ever see it again, but he's still like the number one contender. I mean, people come up that go through Colby Covington. This is a tough cat. He might never hold the belt, but he might be winning against everybody else in the division potentially.
I hate to say this, and I don't want to write off the rest of the division, but Colby might be the modern day Rich Franklin, who could beat everybody, but just couldn't beat Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
Like I kind of feel that way for Colby. You know, this division is getting better. There's going to be more contenders down the way, which is why in my book, Bruce, I'm with you. I'd like to see Usman stay in the welterweight division, even if there isn't a clear number one contender right now, but he wants to be the greatest welterweight of all time. He wants that GOAT status at 170. No offense to Kamaru. I just don't think that he's better historically than George St. Pierre in this moment. So get a couple more title defenses if you want to, you know, really lay claim to that throne. You know, leave no doubt about it, because these GOAT conversations, they can go on for days and days and days. And, you know, the only times I ever really enjoy talking about those conversations are when it's really clear cut. And George St. Pierre, to me, is still clear cut the best 170-pound fighter that has ever stepped inside the octagon. Two or three more title defenses, though, for Usman, if he's able to run through them the way that he has, you know, the beginning of this title run, then maybe he is that man. But right now, I'd like to see him fight a few more times at 70.
Yeah, I'm with you on all counts, as usual. But in this case, I thoroughly agree. It's just that what I'm talking about is take the money and run.
Yeah.
Those paychecks.
Yep.
Dominate for the next 2 years. Don't leave the division. Carry your image. Build your brand. Create other revenue streams out of the brand. You know me, I'm thinking about a far picture. Dominate. Go down as the GOAT, if possible, in your division. Take on all comers. If you suffer a loss, if it's not worth a rematch where you can retain your championship again, then maybe it's time to think about, hey, you know, I've had my run.
Right.
Now let me move on.
Right. I mean, I would love to see him fight at 85, but I think there are contenders there, and I don't think Khamzat Chimaev necessarily deserves a title fight right now.
No, I think you should have another fight right now. Okay, I love the guy; he's great. I don't think he deserves a championship fight.
Right, he might get it. He might win too. Honestly, Bruce, he might win. I'm not going to say that he's not talented enough for it. I would just like to see him have another fight against, you know, a top five guy before we put him in there with a Usman.
Watch his evolutionary process. Yeah. He's great so far. Let's watch him keep going. One, two, three more fights. Get his shot.
Right.
Right. Deservingly so. But let's build his personality and let's really get into this fighter.
Let's make money on the way up. Let's not shoot that shot right away. And I mean, don't get me wrong. It would sell pay-per-views. It would be a fantastic payday. But you could have two or three similar paydays before you put him in that spot for a championship fight, I think.
Well, we also have another situation here. What fighter just got hurt that was in a big fight and he said he would step in?
Oh man, I don't know.
I forget. I read it yesterday, but you know, he's another fighter that's in shape 365 days a year. He gets a call from Sean or Mick, you know, bottom line, whoever handles that division, he's going to step up. So, okay. We're all fans of his. We want to see his progression and we will. This Saturday, we've got Holloway and Rodriguez.
Great fight.
Great fight. I will not be there. I did change my schedule around. I will be announcing the Raider game on NBC at 5 o'clock.
Oh, great. Awesome.
Sunday, I'm flying into Vegas for that. And then next weekend, I'm going to come in. I'm going to announce the UFC. Then I'm very excited about announcing Misha's fight. I missed her last fight. I didn't announce her. And then I'm going to do the Raider game on Sunday. But as far as this card on Saturday, you know, we've got Ben Rothwell back, always fun, against Marcos Rogério de Lima, Max and Yair. I just did the Manscaped commercial with Max. We'll talk about that a little later. That's funny. Felicia Spencer, you know, continuing her roll and rain. It's a good solid card. So again, this is one of those cards we're going to hear, maybe.
Well, I mean, I think people are, if anybody's saying that, I mean, because the main event of Yair Rodriguez and Max Holloway, it's money. It could have been on that MSG card and would have fit in just fine. But that's the sort of unfortunate situation with these blockbuster sort of events that we just had. It's hard to follow up and not live in the shadow of that.
This card's going to be a brawl for it all. This is a good card. I'm not going to be there for it, but it's a good card.
And you don't have to buy it on pay-per-view. So what the hell are you bitching about, people? Don't bitch.
Don't bitch. Just watch.
Exactly.
Listen, I want to thank my tailors, my exclusive tailors at King & Bay. They made two beautiful jackets for me. The first jacket I wore, which got a lot of, you know, the internet was, the social media was blowing me up that night. And certainly so. They do such a great job with these raw jacquard silk jackets they made. But the first jacket I made was the jacket I was supposed to wear, rather, is the jacket I was supposed to wear that was made for me for Abu Dhabi.
Right? Oh, got it.
Yeah. And so I brought it in, and then I did the change up for the pay-per-view. And not everybody, but a lot of people were saying, what are those designs on that green jacket? What is that? You know, skulls, panda bears.
Right.
It was more of a skull look.
Okay.
But if you're into panda bears, you could have called it a panda bear.
You know, it's art. They're literally pieces of art. And, you know, one thing about art is it's sort of up to the interpreter. So if one person sees a panda bear, the other person sees a skull, well, neither of you are wrong.
Kind of like the Rorschach test. You know, you hold up the thing, you know, what are you looking at?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Let's get out of our beloved UFC, which we'll always be into, if that sounded correctly. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, man.
Big fan. Not saying I'm not still a big fan of him. My dad always said one thing. He said, when you watch an actor on screen, don't get caught up in their personal life. Okay. I don't know Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur has called me and invited me to the Green Bay games. I would love to go out and see one, you know, when I can. And I'm a big fan of Aaron Rodgers. I've always been a fan of the Packers, even though my Eagles are my team and the Raiders are my team. You know, I split it all around evenly. So, but you know what? It's just, he's getting raked across the coals, you know?
Well, deservedly so, I think. Yeah. I mean, for a guy that was so vocal about the Packers not treating him the way that he wanted to be treated,
right?
He's got some egg on his face here because he didn't do his part to make sure that he was following protocols and doing the things that are hard, fast rules. So I don't know. It's difficult for me on the outside looking in, and maybe it's the underlying Vikings fan in me somewhere deep down inside. But yeah, I think he made a mistake, and you know, he's got to pay the consequences.
Well, he is. You know, he was dropped by one of the health organizations. He had obviously probably a big money spokesperson deal with. They dropped him right away. Privia Health, if I'm not mistaken. The Packers have been docked and fined $300,000. The NFL has fined also Aaron $14,000 for his COVID violation. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, will continue to haunt you. It'll continue as much a role model status he had. It's going to be there in a dark way. But you know what? It's like Johnny United said, as I said before, see you on the field superstar. He gets back on the field and performs. He's an NFL quarterback who is supposed to perform at his job, and he's one of the best ever.
This is the question, though, is like, what does this say about him as a person and as a leader? Because the fact that he sort of took a shortcut here and, you know, didn't necessarily do what he was supposed to do, where does that begin and end? Is this an isolated situation? Maybe it is. And I guess we have to give him the benefit of the doubt until, you know, proven otherwise. But, you know, deep down inside, if I'm someone that wanted to maybe sign Aaron Rodgers, I would look back at this and be like, well, that was sort of a really big F up. Would this be a liability if I brought him to my organization?
I think that most NFL teams are going to look at the skill factor and say, we'll take him. But then you have other people, sponsors, where, you know, obviously players of a status as well as other people in sports entertainment make even more money in their sponsorships than they make what they do. That's where it's going to hit them hard.
You can essentially, you know, piss off everybody in the league and the Dallas Cowboys will still sign you to a contract.
Yeah,
so
they'll still sign you, but will Previa Health give you another 7-figure deal? No.
Well, you know, I don't know if he necessarily needs it, believe it or not.
No, probably not. Time cures all ails. People have a lack of memory after a certain time. But anyway, aside from all that, not good, Aaron. That's not the way to handle it.
You don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Simple as that. Halle Berry was at the show, and of course, she put the belt around Rose. And Halle and I were talking.
What, you mean Jackie Justice?
She's having her premiere of her movie, Bruce.
With, that's the character named Jackie Justice. Yeah.
It's a Saturday night. I just got an invitation to go to it. And this is what I like. It's at the Chinese Theater here in Hollywood. And Halle told me she was going to invite me when I saw her Saturday night. And lo and behold, the invite came through. But this is what COVID society is now. Everybody has to wear a mask. Everybody has to show a vaccine card. And you've got to show a negative COVID test within 48 hours of attending the premiere. I got to tell you, after going through COVID, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, anybody that's been really affected and had to go through COVID personally, you don't find them complaining too much about it. It's the people that have sort of been ambivalent to it all and haven't been forced to sort of, you know, stare COVID in the face themselves that tend to be on the side of like, well, whatever, you know, I don't necessarily need to do this and this is stupid. But yeah, I mean, rules are rules, man. Like going back to like what we talked about with Aaron Rodgers, like just do what you're asked to do. And 99% of the time when you follow the rules, everything's going to be just fine. Just do it. It sucks. I get it. I don't want to do it, but you just do it because that's what you do.
Well, it's like this. You don't want to do it, but do you want to get it?
Okay. Right. Nobody wants to get it. Nope. Nobody wants to get it.
Take it from me. You don't want to get it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. A couple little news stories here. Not that we're not talking about the news right now. This, you know, we talk about the lottery all the time, how they blow their money. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of a thing. There's even like a show about it, like how the lottery, winning the lottery ruined my life.
And how families are suddenly, you know, loan me this, loan me that.
Yeah.
A woman was arrested in New York and charged in connection. She didn't borrow the money. She didn't get given the money. She stole it. She was charged in connection with cashing in her cousin. I'm sorry. I'm laughing. I don't mean to laugh. With cashing in her cousin's $1 million winning lottery prize ticket and keeping the money.
Oh, my.
What the heck?
Well, how do you prove that?
Well, the person was asked by her cousin last year to cash in the winning lottery ticket because he wanted to remain anonymous.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that. You
anybody to cash in?
I mean, what I would do if I wanted to remain anonymous, especially if it's a big payday like that, you go hire an attorney. And the attorney can set up a trust that you're not even, you know, publicly named on, and you take care of it that way.
I'm with you, but the average person doesn't think about that right away.
I mean, I'm a below average person, Bruce, and I just thought of that right away.
You're in this low percentage that would even think about that.
That's because I hung out with you, Bruce. That's why I would think about that.
Well, her cousin agreed to take $50,000 in exchange for claiming the prize.
And she just kept it all.
She just took it all.
I mean, I hate to say this, but is she necessarily in the wrong? Because, I mean, once you hand off the ticket to cash it in, it's sort of an exchange of ownership in a roundabout way.
Well, the defendant, you know, just...
I mean, you said defendant, so I assume this is being, you know, pursued legally.
The county district attorney's involved now. You know, it's just like a he said, she said situation because your name is not on the lottery ticket. You know?
I hate to say this, but $1 million, no offense, that's a lot of money. I'm not saying that's not.
$1 million cuts a lot of family ties.
Right, but it's also not enough money, in my opinion, to try to have to go through all of this anonymously. Like, I mean, maybe this person has a lot of stuff in their life that having money would just really complicate everything if people knew about it. But I don't know why you would open yourself up to these sort of vulnerabilities. And I don't know, man. Like, I think it's kind of crazy that she just went for it all. She just tried to steal it. That's crazy.
If there's a good part of this, the police were able to recover more than $317,000 of the stolen funds.
Wait, so when you win $1 million, they just hand it all over to you? I mean, obviously after taxes.
You have a choice. You take it after, if I'm not incorrect, you take it payments over time or you take it with taxes taken out.
But $1 million seems like maybe you're not necessarily getting paid over time. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously if you win like $300 million, there's like a cash lump sum and then there's...
I would take the cash lump sum.
Right, but there's also an annuity. I'm thinking $1 million, Bruce. They might just, you know, cut that out in two checks or one check. Right then and there, because I mean, what are we talking about taxes wise? If you win $1 million, what are you walking away with? Like 600,000?
Yeah, close to 600,000. You're going to wind up paying roughly about 48%. So
right, so you're going to get that. Like, I don't think a check in one lump sum of 600,000 is too much. Like, you're probably getting that in one payment.
It's, listen, personal perception is reality. It's a matter of how they want to deal with it, and obviously that didn't deal with it correctly. Just go cash the cash. I would never give a ticket to anybody.
Well, here's my question. Who paid the taxes? Like, when she took the money, did she like go through her cousin's name or whatever? Yeah, and then yeah. Just,
that's,
okay.
That's
so
what I'm gathering here is that she wanted to be in her name, pay the taxes, and then keep 50 grand for herself. And then just give a loan to your family member, which is non-taxable. And that's it.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
We'll see. It's an interesting story. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's son he's had problems. His son's been in issues. Stabbed his neighbor. Now he's getting jail time. Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's son is getting jail time for stabbing his neighbor.
Man, you got to be in a really scary state of mind to want to stab a person. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know the exact situation and way it happened, but he stabbed him with a hunting knife in an argument over trash cans. What the frig? Seriously?
What?
Yeah.
Okay, like I don't know.
He's arrested on three counts of assault with a deadly weapon and assault carrying a dirk or dagger, which is illegal where he's at.
Over trash cans
and inflicting great bodily harm. Oh, Kareem, you've been through a few things in your life, and you know you got to deal with this. But you know this is life; is how it is.
Someone did rip off the cover of my trash can. I don't know why. I don't want to stab that person. No, I don't want to stab them, but I would like my cover back if you're out there, a-hole.
Yeah. Get it. Ortiz is going to be out there with a
bow. No. That takes a lot of work. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to bitch on your podcast about it.
Well, you know how I like to poke fun at myself in the TV commercials and things that I do?
Of course.
They just released the newest Manscaped commercial I did.
All right.
With Holloway, you know, which is a lot of fun to work with him. Max is pretty cool.
We can actually play it on the way out. So when we end the show, we'll play that.
Oh, cool. And I'll try to get you the Blue Chew commercial. Did you see the one I did with Cody?
No, I saw the picture, the Instagram video that you took when you were filming it, but I have not seen the end product.
All right, let me see if I have it in my files to send that. Maybe you can tag that on to the end of the show too.
Yeah,
very
we'll do that.
Funny. Very funny. I work with a man who works with me on a company named Garrett Marciano. He's really, really great at what he does.
I know Garrett. Garrett came and saw me in Vegas when we were doing extra rounds at the MGM.
Great guy. So we did four Blue Shoe commercials, right? Two with Cody, two with Cub Swanson and Kendra. And Cody and his girlfriend, and they picked the one they want to release first. I think they're going to release the other two or three over time. Funny here on Manscaped commercial, I'm being a spokesman for, and then I guess once you do that, then you pop a Blue Chew and have a great night. So
there you go. Below the belt. That's below the belt, Buff.
Yeah, that's your new TV show. Below the belt.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, TJ, that's it for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to say other than check out Extra Rounds, which you can watch the entire 100-episode archive over on UFC Fight Pass. We are live generally Wednesdays or Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific. You can watch us on Facebook at facebook.com/UFC Fight Pass. Or if you want to check out the audio podcast version, you can download that wherever you get your podcasts.
Very cool. And I am going to go. And like I said, I'll be doing the Raiders game on NBC. If you're tuning in, I'll be opening up the game this weekend and everything's going great. It's Time Energy. As I said, we'll be here in the United States first on Amazon starting next month. So enjoy your It's Time. Take a puncher's chance. Have a nice holidays. Enjoy. It is getting close. Thanksgiving's 2 weeks away.
Yeah. My 38th birthday, 2 weeks away.
Wow. Well, happy birthday, pre-birthday. We'll talk about it more on the show, but God, the holidays, I can't believe how fast time flies.
I still feel like we missed a whole year with COVID, though. You know what I mean? So, like,
I missed 2 years.
I feel like time has gone by really fast, but it was also simultaneously drug really slowly. So, I don't know. It's weird.
Well, as long as it doesn't drug slowly because you're on drugs, everything's okay.
Hey, I mean, that's how some people have gotten through this COVID-19
world.
Not
the way you rolled. I know.
No, it's not me. It's not me, but, you know, to each their own.
All right. Sounds good. All right, everybody. Have a great week. Enjoy the UFC this Saturday. Like I said, I will not be in the octagon, but I will see you the following weekend. But we'll talk more about that next week. And it's time. So great to have the 2-time strawweight champion, the amazing Rose Namajunas, on the show. I can't thank her enough for coming on. TJ, enjoy yourself. All my best to you and your family. Everybody out there, set your goals, write them down. Make sure you're fully knowledgeable of what you're doing. So when you step on that path, you can perform and be the best you can be. Because if you're doing that, then you're winning. And that's what we're all about on This Time Radio. It's about winning and being the best you can be. Have a great week. Enjoy your weekend. And I will see you next week. Buffer out. Big cheers. No fears forever, folks. And thank you again for all your cameos and all your video orders coming into brucebuffer.com. You're keeping me busier than ever. And I love every minute of it. Thank you.
It's time. Presenting the Lawnmower 4.0. Featuring skin-safe technology, a powerful 7,000 RPM motor, and it's waterproof!
Security
Go to manscaped.com and order your lawnmower 4.0 today!
Last night was so amazing.
Hell yeah, it was. What's up, Bruce?
You going for round number 2?
You know it.
Brought to you by Blue Chew. Chew it and do it!
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.